ELC Radio.
God is going to cause you to change, and he's going to cause you to take your promised land, but you got to quit looking for a get-rich-quick scheme. Come on, somebody. God is thinking peace of you and not evil. That when he thinks about your life, he's not mad at you. The strongest people are people that understand togetherness. All throughout your life, you're on this journey to go from me to we.
Love God. Lift others.
Life Church.
Now, sit back, relax, and enjoy another elevated message. Here's Senior Pastor Sergio Limon.
The Christmas story, the Bible is real clear about how it went down. And, you know, not to get real specific on you or anything like that, but we have our traditions sometimes that kind of tell the story, even though the story didn't really go that way. In other words, you know, I don't want to ruin somebody's Christmas, but the three kings didn't get there when he was in the manger. Did y'all know that? They didn't get there till he was much older. And there wasn't only three kings. There was a bunch of kings. And they came from all over the world to come see the Son of God, to come see the Savior of the universe. And the Bible does tell us that they brought gifts to the child king. And I think that's where we get the three kings tradition and, you know, Los Tres Reyes and all that. It's not biblical, folks. Sorry. There was probably more kings than the three. But we get three kings because they brought three great gifts, frankincense, myrrh, and gold. But I say all that to say that the Christmas story is real clear that those that came to Jesus had to follow something to get there. The Bible says that the Magi, the kings, saw in the stars a sign that spoke to them that the child, the Savior, would be born. There was something in their studies, and many theologians trace it back to when Daniel was in Babylon. And he was in Babylon's kingdom, and he was teaching them things, and he prophesied, we see in the book of Daniel, that there would be the Son of God would come to earth. And many believe it was those prophecies and their study of the science of the stars that led them to understand that the star that was in the sky was a sign that the Son of God was coming. But they had to follow that sign to find Jesus. There's another account in the Bible, too, of the shepherds, that they were out tending their sheep. The Bible says the angels appeared to them and told them about the Son of God. And so they had to hearken to those angels and follow those angels to where Jesus was. And how many of you know, you and I, we got to do the same. When you came to Jesus, you followed a word. Somebody might have just came to you and said, hey, I want to invite you to my church. You followed the voice, and when you came to church, you found Jesus. But somewhere along the way, some of us stopped following Jesus. We know about Jesus. We remember we came to him. But life begins to happen. And we begin to go, okay, yeah, I know Jesus, but I'm going to follow a voice of another. And some of us follow the voice of money. Some of us follow the voice of survival. Well, you know, I just got to make ends meet. I got to, you know, I got to take care of me and mine. I got to do this. I ain't got time for God. I ain't got time for church. And we start following other things. Others of us here follow relationships. We make relationships our God. And, you know, we'd rather be in a relationship than the greatest relationship ever, which is with Jesus. Some people stop coming to church because, you know, they want to be about finding a girl or finding a guy and going. And they go to the craziest places, don't they? Or should I say we go to the craziest places? We, you know, go to the club to find somebody to spend your rest of your life with. You know, we do the craziest things. But here's my point. We find Jesus, but then we stop following him. I just want to drop something in your spirit today because I don't want you to find Jesus only to stop following him. I want you to find him and I want you to walk with him. Because when I made that decision and I stuck to that decision, God has made my life better than any life I could have had on my own. And he'll do the same for you. Many of you, you've experienced that. But there's others of us. We're getting pulled left. We're getting pulled right. We're hearing this voice. We're hearing that thing. And we can't quite continue to follow Jesus like his word tells us to. Well, there's an account of this in the Bible, John chapter 6, 61 through 69. I want to read this to you real quick. It's a story about Jesus when he had just preached one of his most famous messages. He had a church of thousands. He gets up one day preaching on communion, like what we just wrote or we just did a little while ago. And he said, unless you drink of my blood and eat of my flesh, you cannot be my disciple. And the church was mad about it. And that says everybody that day left his church, everybody except 12 guys. And here's what happens here. He says, without anyone telling him, Jesus knew the people were outraged and told them, are you offended over my teaching? What will you do when you see the Son of Man ascending into the realm from where he came? And the Holy Spirit is the one who gives life. That which is of the natural realm is no help. That'll preach. It says, the words that I speak to you are spirit and their life. But there are still some of you who will not believe. In fact, Jesus already knew from the beginning who the skeptics were and who his traitor would be. But he went on to say this. This is why I told you that no one embraces me unless the Father has given you to me. And so from that time on, listen to this, many of the disciples turned their backs on Jesus and refused to be associated with him. It happened in his day, and it happens in our day. Now it's Christmas. Some of you, it's a great time to take inventory of where you're at with Jesus. And I'm not preaching this for anybody to feel bad, feel sad, put anybody down. I'm preaching this as a mandate from your Father that is saying this, come home. Come home. There's no judgment. I'm not mad at you. Just come home. Follow me and see how good I can be to you. As we read this right here, Jesus is preaching a word, but because they didn't know Jesus, they got offended by the word. Because see, when Jesus was serving up two-piece dinners, come on, when he was feeding them with the loaves and the fishes, everybody was following him. He got crowds of thousands. Everybody was there. Wow, let's go. Let's follow Jesus. He's hooking everybody up. But the minute he gets up and he preaches, okay, now it's going to cost you a little something. You're going to have to repent from your ways, which means change your ways. The things you used to do, we ain't going to do those things no more. The places you used to go, we're not going to go those places anymore. This is the way. And the Bible says that day, people said, I'm out. I'm not in this. And you know, as a preacher, as a pastor for over 30, almost 30 years now, I've seen that. As I watch even the video, I see people that aren't in the way anymore, that aren't you know, not necessarily at this church. I'm not talking about people that are at other churches, but people that aren't serving and following God anymore that used to be. And it's a sad thing. And it's the same story, though. They found Jesus, but they came to a point where they just said, nah, I ain't doing that. I'd rather go over here and pursue this thing. I'd rather give my life to this thing over here. And folks, it's a deception. It's a deception. Because there's nothing greater than a relationship with Jesus Christ. And in this relationship, this is what you got to understand. You don't tell Jesus what you're going to do. He tells you what he wants you to do. And when you get to know him, you desire to know what he wants you to do. And you desire to do his will. But this day, Jesus lost his whole church. But he looked over at the front row and he saw his 12 guys, his 12 disciples, the 12 dudes that he discipled in his discipleship group that he raised up. And he didn't go run over to him and say, oh my gosh, I'm so glad you guys are here. Dang, thank you guys for having my back. That's what's up. Yeah, good. Man, thank you guys. You know what he did? He walked over to him, looked him in the eye. He says, y'all want to go too? Because I don't need you. Because if you want to go, go with them. But the Bible says they say something that I really want you to catch this morning. Look at this. It says, and so from time to time, many of the disciples turned their backs on Jesus and refused to be associated with him. So Jesus says to his 12, and you, do you also want to leave? But listen to Peter. Peter speaks up and he says, but Lord, where would we go? No one but you gives us the revelation of eternal life. We're fully convinced that you are the anointed one, the Son of the living God, and we believe in you. Guys, this is my prayer for every person sitting in this place today, that when it comes down to a choice of who you're going to follow, who you're going to serve, that you've been elevated in your thinking to such a degree that nothing else compares. I was talking with a guy not too long ago, doesn't go to church anymore, he's not serving the Lord. We were having a conversation, and I asked him, how old are you? And he kind of sheepishly looked over at me, he goes, well, I'm almost 40. And I said, haven't you learned that there's nothing else in the world for you? You're almost 40. Have you not understood that there's nothing out there for you? In all your 40 years, in all your experiences, haven't you learned yet that it's fun for a moment, but it could leave a lasting sting? And he began to tear up in his eyes. He goes, yeah, that's true, Pastor. Not only that, he said, this was funny. He said, not only that, but them 40 and over clubs are whack. Somebody need to hear that in here. But it's the truth. When are we going to understand, y'all? When are we going to finally get to the place where Peter and the disciples were like, listen, I don't get this, but where am I going to go and get what you give me? Get the revelation, get the salvation, get hope, get faith. Listen, you ain't going to get that in a relationship. No dude can give you that. No girl can give you that. No woman can give you that. The only place you can get the things of God is when you follow Jesus. But Pastor, if I do that, then I got to stop, you know, this, and I got to quit this, and, you know, I just want to go get my career. Listen, careers are great, but it ain't going to give you the words of life. It ain't going to give you what you need to raise good kids. Careers are awesome. Money is an amazing thing. But listen, it ain't everything. What I want you to get as we leave here today and we go on our way and celebrate Christmas is you've got to settle in your heart, there is no comparison to Jesus. No place you could go. Where are you going to go? Why do we look back at our past? Why do we let life take us out of church? Now listen, it's not about church, but let me just say this. Everything on the planet has an environment it thrives in. You take a tree out of the forest, it'll look nice in your house for a little while. All you real tree lovers. You get it. You'll get it maybe to January, right? Some of you push it to March. I see you. And it'll actually look alive for a while. But even though it looks alive, guess what? It's dead. And it won't be long. You're going to have to throw that thing out because it's been taken out of its natural environment. You take animals out of their natural environment. They don't thrive. Many of them will die. You take a fish out of water, it dies instantly. You know, we put animals in zoos. They live there, but they're nothing like what they would be outside in their natural habitat. And can I just tell you, you could try serving God outside of church if you want to. You just won't thrive like you will in the natural environment. But it's going to take discipline. I got to get to church on Sunday. I got to get my kids ready. It's going to take something from you. It's going to take giving. And then when you're here a little while, you got to get involved. You need to serve. Oh, I got to serve, which means I got to get there a little early. And I got to do stuff. We don't want to do stuff. But we got to understand one thing. That environment is needed for our growth. And here's the other thing we've got to understand. It's being a part of the community of the believer is so important. Why? Because it's just like Peter said, there's no other place you can go outside of the local church to get the things God wants to give you in that place. Your career ain't going to bring it. Money's not going to bring it. Definitely going back to your old ways is not going to bring it. What you got to leave here understanding today is this. There is no comparison to the things of God and the gift of Jesus Christ. Amen. And I pray that when you're faced with opportunities to leave the Lord, go back to your old ways, and the Holy Spirit comes, because he'll never make you serve him. What do you want to do? I pray that all of our response is the same as Peter's. God, where am I going to go to experience your goodness? Where am I going to go to experience destiny, blessing, legacy? There's no other place. And so that day, the disciples, look what he says here. No one but you gives us the revelation of eternal life. We're fully convinced that you're the anointed one, the Son of the living God, and we believe in you. Come on, close your head. Close that up too if it's open. That's that South Sac slang. Close your head up right now. Close your eyes, bow your head. Because I got to ask. And this is not to embarrass anybody. As I said, it's to bring you home. Maybe you're here today and you know about Jesus. But if you're 100 completely honest, maybe you're like one of those ones that left Jesus that day. And you said, nah, I can't do it. I'm not willing to sacrifice this. I still like living my world. I still like my this, or I still like my that. Listen. No, nothing compares to Jesus. And if you're here today, it's time for you to follow him all the way. All it takes is asking the Lord into your life. And maybe you've done it again before and it's time to do it again. Listen, I did it a few times before it actually took. But if you're here today and you say, Pastor, nobody's looking around, just in the privacy of your own spirit right now, no one's looking around. If you're here and you say, Pastor, would you pray with me? I want you to just slip up a hand right where you're at, and we'll want to pray with you. Yeah, I see that hand over there. I see those hands going up all over this place. I see those hands. Anyone else? You just say, Pastor, I just want to get this thing right. I want to get on this path. Amen. Let's all stand on our feet for a moment. There's about 8 or 9 people right over here in this middle section, a couple over here. I'm not going to ask you to come forward today. But we're going to pray a prayer right now. And maybe you didn't raise your hand, but you need this. Listen, coming to Jesus is a very simple thing. And he made it simple on purpose. He wants to meet you so bad. And he wants it to be real. So the Bible says this, if you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and he came and he died to forgive you of your sins and to be your Lord, he'll come into your life this morning. And maybe you've been away. Well, there's a story in the Bible called the prodigal son that says when the son left the father and he came back home, the father wasn't mad, didn't make him a slave or a servant. The Bible says the father ran out there and said, son, I'm glad you're home. And the son was expecting to get a whipping, be told off. And he was like, what? And the dad said, let's throw a party because you're home. That's all the father wants to do for you today. So we're all going to pray this prayer together. And I'm asking you to just mean it with your heart. Let's close our eyes. Say, Jesus, I need you. I want you to come into my life and help me serve you, follow you, because you have the words of life. Nothing in my life compares to you. And help me do everything I can to follow you and never leave you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now just keep your eyes closed for a moment, because according to the scriptures, what is happening as you prayed those words, the Holy Spirit is coming right into your life. And he's taken away every mistake, every stain. You might have walked in here thinking, I don't even belong in this church. I've done so many bad things. But right now, the Holy Spirit is erasing the penalty of those things. And he's coming inside of you to live and make you a son and a daughter of God. And everybody said, can we just give God a praise clap for these that prayed that this morning?
Well, I hope you've been encouraged by the Word of God. And if you have, go ahead and subscribe to our podcast or download our free app at the App Store, and you can continue to get Word every week from Elevate Life Church.